you, Bob and Tom, very much. That is a most beautiful hymn, that last hymn that we sang. And how wonderful to know the precious and wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus Christ does dwell within us. A truth we can't really comprehend, but one we can certainly believe and appreciate. Well, we're going to the Gospel according to Mark again, aren't we? And as on other mornings, we are into chapter 4. May I remind you again of the Family Bible Hour radio broadcast presentation. We'll be making that at the conclusion of the service, so that we plan to have the service over by about 8:15, and then the remaining 15 minutes will be devoted to that. Now, the brethren have very kindly placed some of the Family Bible Hour literature on a table at the back. I was going to say a card table, but I think it's sanctified once you move it into the building. It's about the size of a card table, anyway. But pick up some of this material. This happens to be one piece, and you'll learn about the Family Bible Hour radio ministry. We do value your prayers so very, very much. Amid the fears that oppress our way, across the clouds that obscure our way, one golden truth sheds its shining ray. Our God is sovereign still. Though wars may rise and though kingdoms fall, though ills may threaten and fears enthrall, our God still lives and He hears our call. Our God is sovereign still. Isn't it wonderful to know that our God is indeed our sovereign God? He is in total and in complete control. That takes us to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, and let's reread these precious verses. These are verses we've enjoyed in our morning study, or trust we have. And at verse 35 we read, "And the same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us go over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Father, we're thankful that we approach Thee this morning in the name, the precious name, of the One to whom the wind and the sea found themselves obedient. We thank Thee, we come to Thee in the name of Thy sovereign Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We long to know Thy presence now, and pray that we'll enjoy Thy nearness through Thy word in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This morning, let's look at two verses as we turn to the 38th and the 39th verses. We'll think together of a silent storm. We'll consider a stilled sea. And finally, we'll think of a serene scene. What a sight this must have been. We've reviewed the story, and we'll do so ever so briefly for the sake of those who might be joining. Our Lord had taught four parables as he sat in the little boat on the edge of the Galilee. The day had been an exhausting one. And as the man Christ Jesus, he was tired, wearied at the end of the day. And so the crowd, their needs having been met, he sent them away, and then with his disciples, they left the shore, sailed out into the lake of Galilee, and headed for the distant shore, some 6 miles away in its widest part. And so as they leave, the weary Savior succumbs to sleep. Proving his humanity, he rests. He's a tired man. You and I know what it is to be tired. And so our Savior experienced the same as the Son of Man. But while on the sea, and now far out from the shore, why the winds suddenly begin to blow and the sea is suddenly tempestuous, and it's obvious the storm has broken. Sky is dark and foreboding. And men who knew what it was to spend a lifetime on the sea were now themselves terrified. While all the time the Savior is sound asleep in the stern, his head on a leather pillow, he rests at the end of a busy and demanding day. Now these disciples, these men who knew and loved him well, they awake him and they cry, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Why, the wind was strong and the sea was high and the boat was swelling with water. Their attempts to bail it out had failed. Now they cry to him, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? Did he care? We noted yesterday. He most certainly did. He had left the glory. He'd come to earth to die for the very men in the boat. Dear child of God, the one who shares life's boat with you on the stormy sea of time is the very same one who cares to the extent of having died for you on Calvary's cross. And if there is anything, I repeat, if there is anything that should encourage you and me in the storm, it is this truth. That our blessed Lord, who died for us, will keep us and care for us. And so, in verse 38, we saw their despair. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and they cried, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I know they were concerned about themselves. But I often ask myself the question, as I read this passage, is it possible? Yes, it is. I know it and you know it. That there are people outside, lost and in their sins, and they're perishing. And they can say with another, no man cared for my soul. Oh, dear child of God, may you and I, with a burden born of the Holy Spirit, have a desire and a passion to reach souls for Christ and to tell them the good news of God's everlasting salvation. Still they perish, and even while we speak, men are going out into eternity and tragically going out without hope, never having heard the saving name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, it is your responsibility and mine to be burdened in prayer and to do our part in reaching the lost for the Savior. So they cried, Master, don't you care? Oh, how he cared. Master, we're perishing. And verse 39 says, and he arose. I like that, don't you? We noted yesterday that he heard the desperate, concerned cry of his people, and he arose. As I look at this verse, I wonder just what it involves. What does it entail? Did he stand up in the ship? Did he violate the basic law of good seamanship? Did he stand in that storm-tossed boat and cry to the waves and the wind to obey him? I don't know. He may have just been aroused. He surveys the situation. And sitting there still in the stern of the boat, he might just have cried, "Peace, be still." I don't know which he did. But I know this, beloved. The results were traumatic. The moment he cried and commanded, why, there was a peace that reigned on the Galilee that it hadn't known over the previous few months or few minutes. His response was to their concern. And I am thankful this morning that my God still responds at the appropriate time to the cry of his people. When they realized their desperate need, when they realized that it was beyond their ability to correct the situation and to bring peace, what happened? It was then that he spoke. If you were with us a year ago in our evening studies, we went through the First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And you remember, as we did, we came to the crucible experience. And we learned that our faith was in the crucible. And it was being tried by the fire and the flame. And just at the time that the master refiner could see his likeness in the purified metal, it was then the flame was turned down. And it was removed just at the right time. Beloved child of God, as you and I go back over our life, as we have already been encouraged this morning by our brother Bob, think of it. Times when you thought you could never make it. You could never get through. And it would only be because of the hand of a sovereign God in your life that ever you would make it. Just at the time when things seemed the worst, he turned down the flame. Or he spoke, "Peace, be still." It was just at the appointed time. And what did it say? Why, it says that he arose and he rebuked the wind. The thought is that he charged it. He commanded it. He censured it. Severely. And he said, "Peace, be still." This was the command of the Creator. And he was commanding the elements that he had made to obey him. And he rebuked them and he charged them to obey his voice. The elements obeyed him and obeyed his command. The tragedy is that the elements obey him. The demons obey him, but it's man that disobeys him. And it is man for whom he died. Men for whom he gave his life, that they might live and live eternally, and yet they fail to obey him. Thank God, when that all-powerful voice was heard on planet Earth, there was a response. Remember when the poor blind man came? "What wilt thou," had the Savior had said, "what wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And beloved, it came from a poor, blind beggar. And what happened? The eternal, light-giving, sight-giving Son paused to put himself at the command of a beggar. Would you and I? I think during the year of 1970, I walked the streets of Nairobi, Kenya. And I saw beggar after beggar. And I didn't want to stop. But my Savior stopped.
And he actually put himself at the disposal of a blind beggar. And he gave him his sight.
I think of that day when he walked on the roads of Nain, viewed that mother as weeping, her son as she sees her son carried to his burial place, puts up his hand, stops the procession, gives the voice of command, and he rises. View him as he stands at the yawning tomb of Lazarus. Broken-hearted sisters are there, and the tears are flowing, and it seems their world has come crumbling down. What does he do? Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And I'm thankful this morning that the one who sails the sea of life in my ship is the one who can still the storm with his voice of command. And he will do it, dear fellow believer, when it is appropriate and just at the right time. We had seen him as he rested in the stern of the ship, a man with all the weariness of a man. But now we're seeing him as God. God the Creator. God the All-Powerful One. God who can command the elements. The one who commanded them in the first place. And the psalmist could say, he commanded and it was done. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And once again, he commands the elements and they obey him. Psalmist said, he gave the sea its decree that it should not pass his commandment. That's exactly what he did. He spoke, it was done. Job said in the 38th chapter, who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and said, thither shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. That's the God. That's the God, beloved, who travels the sea of life in your boat. And just at the appropriate time, when it seems there is no hope at all, then he speaks and he says, peace, be still. The howling storm in your life will be stayed when he says to it, hither shalt thou go, no further, no further. Remember, God gave to Satan limitations in his attack upon his servant Job, on God's servant Job. He said, just this far, no further. And I believe with all of my heart, dear child of God, that there sits one on heaven's throne this morning. And he says that problem, that difficulty, will assail you just so long as it pleases me. And so, we're in the storm. But thanks be to God, as we learned the other morning, he's in the storm with us. And he's here to bless and to keep and to care. And then in verse 39, he says, peace be still. Peace be still. What lovely words. And I'm confident that this morning in this audience, there is someone or there are someones who would simply say, Lord, oh, please speak that word, peace be still. Solve that problem in my life, whether it's family, whether it's personal, whether it's financial, whatever it is. Oh, Lord, please speak the word. And here he spoke it and he said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Those disciples, more than anything else, wanted peace. Isn't it great? When you realize that your soul is at peace with God.
peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we realize that we're at peace with a family, and all is going well. When we realize that we're at peace with our brethren and sisters in God's family. You know, what else can a man ask for? Really? To have peace in those areas. To me, those are the three cardinal areas, the most important, that you and I might enjoy peace in them. I'm confident as I look out over my audience this morning that all of us have lived through VJ Day. Where were you on VJ Day? You remember? The war had finally come to a close. I remember those days preceding it in Air Force barracks, and we listened often to every newscast and bulletin that came into the barracks. And it seemed that peace was almost here. And then there would be another wrinkle added. But then finally, the announcement came forth that peace would begin at a certain day and a certain hour. There would be peace. Oh, the joy. I remember that day I was in the city of Vancouver. With my colleagues from the air station, we went down into the city. And it was wall-to-wall people. The streetcars, they were just islands in a sea of humanity. They couldn't move. And nobody cared. But there's one thing that stands out in my mind, and I will never forget it. I stood before the Hudson's Bay store, and all the windows had their drapes drawn, save one. And there in that window, there was a purple backdrop, and in large letters, possibly 4 or 5 feet in height, just one word, peace, peace. Peace had been arrived at, and finally men had put down their implements of warfare, and that was a time of peace. What a lovely word. And that's the word my Savior used. In that storm-tossed boat, He spoke peace to them. Psalmist said in 89, Thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise and Thou stillest them. Psalm 89:9. Yes, Lord, You rule the raging waves. You still love. And thanks be to God, He still does. He did so with one simple single command. Peace be still. Psalmist said in 107 and verse 29, He calmeth the storm. He maketh the storm a calm. He delights to speak peace to the troubled heart. Remember in John 14, don't you? He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And the peace that you and I enjoy, beloved, is a peace the like of which the world knows absolutely nothing. Paul wrote to the Philippian saints in 4 and verse 7 these lovely words, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A peace the world knows absolutely nothing about. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Even we can't understand it. But we can enjoy it, can't we? And that was the experience of these men in the boat. And so what did he say? He simply said, peace, be still. The thought is this. As he stood or as he sat erect in the stern of the boat and he looked out over the turbulent elements, he merely said, be muzzled. Get back where you belong. He muzzled them as a barking, ferocious beast. The elements had gone beyond their limits. The one who controlled them said, you be muzzled. You get back in there where you belong. And the one who in the first place had set bounds and limitations to the sea commanded it to get back where it belonged. Dear child of God, at the appropriate time, he will say to that disturbing element, be muzzled, and it will be muzzled. It will cause concern and upset no longer. The creation had heard the Creator's voice, and I repeat, it obeyed. Finally, there was the serene scene in verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The wind ceased. There's a beautiful thought here. I love it. It simply means that the wind fell back exhausted. It had blown, it had gone beyond its limits, and at the voice of the Master obeyed. And fell back fully spent and exhausted. And as the storm rises this morning in your life and in mine, and difficulties assail, and it seems there is no muzzling the storm, beloved, the same one who spoke to the storm in that day can speak to yours, and it will fall back exhausted. And what happened? Notice verse 37. And there arose a great storm. Verse 39. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Isn't that wonderful? Where once there had been the storm, now there is serenity. All is calmed and still, and it happens in an instant at the voice of our beloved Lord. Why the change? I want to suggest three things. First, he was in the boat. That was why. He was there. And they knew it. They knew it. Secondly, they confessed their need of him. Master, we're perishing. We need you. Dear child of God, never weary of going to him and laying before him your petition, your concern, the deep longings of your soul. And as he met their need, he will meet your need. Yes, they confess their need. We perish. They appeal to him. They appeal to him. Master, don't you care? You know, I sometimes wonder, dear child of God, if we shouldn't appeal to him in that same tender way. Lord, I desperately need you. I wonder if I can make it at all. Lord, I cast this problem, this concern upon you, and I plead of you today. Please, Lord, speak peace to the storm. Oh, that you and I might know that calmness of soul that should be ours. Less of the unsettled conditions and state of life. Less of the ulcers and of the tranquilizers. And more evidence of his preserving, keeping, peace-giving power and presence. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace. The future, all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Dear child of God, this brings peace to your life and to mine. And so it was that by the authoritative voice of the God-man, there was peace just at the right time in the lives of these dear concerned believers. But sinners need to hear that voice. That you and me, we have the opportunity and the privilege of taking the voice of God to them and speaking forth the message of salvation and telling them, yes, there is peace and it is found
in the peace-giving Savior,
casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Yes, thanks be to God that as we travel and experience the storms on the sea of life, we have the blessed knowledge that Jesus is in the boat with us. He orders the storm to cease and the calmness to reign upon the turbulent lake according to His divine will. And when He does, the sea is muzzled and the wind falls back exhausted. And you and I are able to enjoy the fellowship with Him for which we daily long. May it be our blessed experience this morning hour. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege of meeting in this fashion around the open book. We thank Thee for it. We thank Thee for these precious lessons. We have seen our beloved Lord as a weary man and as the all-powerful God. And we thank Thee that as we identify with Him as one who is weary, we rejoice in knowing that He is the God of all power. Father, Thou knowest there are hearts that are concerned and broken this morning because of problems in the way. We pray that in Your sovereign will, the storm might subside, even today, and that peace will reign. We pray in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.